Yeah, Ellen Miller Wolf is going
to
be down.
I didn't bring the one thing I wanted to bring.
Jeff Craig.
Okay, good afternoon, or I guess it's good morning.
Good morning.
It was a long day yesterday. Welcome to the second day of our 2011 council retreat. And we have a full agenda for a half day. So, City Manager, you want to start us off?
Okay, thank you. Welcome. So, everyone, make sure there's a few donuts over there in the corner if you want to get those. Thank you for all of your focus and efforts yesterday. So today is going to be a little more casual. We have first hour is just a brainstorming session for you. And this was suggested by Councilmember Wallen, and you all enthusiastically agreed that you just wanted to have a chance to throw out ideas, concepts, things that you wanted to explore that we'd kind of put on the list and come back to you with some options. And then that's going to go from 9 till 10, and then at 10 o'clock, we have a tour of the annexation area that's going to be led by Ray Steiger and Eric Shields. We have excellent maps. We have a huge bus, and we'll be taking you on the tour and explaining things to you. So that will happen at 10 o'clock, and we should be back hopefully between noon and 12:15. So any questions before we get started? All right. So my thought on this might be to start a little bit the way Andrew started yesterday, which was to really maybe start with Councilman Wall and kind of go through and see what concepts or ideas or brainstorms would people like to throw out there. And then after we have them all, get a reaction from each of you to everyone else's ideas to see which might have some interest by different members of the council. So let me just throw it open.
I love it. Okay. So I after talking about our work plan yesterday, I really wanted to talk about Totem Lake, and I have a million ideas. You probably remember from last year about all kinds of things. I'd love to see us tackle parking in a different way and Lake and Central as a plaza with an amphitheater. I love all that stuff. But today I'm really going to focus on Totem Lake. So last night, after going over the council goals, I thought it's a really helpful framework to think about any big project. So I just wrote down all the council goals, and I thought about Totem Lake in that within that framework. So so I have a whole bunch of stuff, but I'll just rattle it off really quickly. So I thought maybe our planning, basically I want to talk about the general idea that our boards and commissions would work on our work plan. So I also kind of fit that into this bunch of ideas, and I think maybe some of this stuff is already in the works, but just looking at Totem Lake as an enterprise zone and perhaps simplifying our zoning there, looking at maybe loosening our sign regulations that we would allow something a little bit different in that area that's not really residential, looking at our impact fees there, talking about maybe, so that was, I guess I'm just going to go down the whole list. I thought that if we really love Totem Lake and we really prioritize it and we really mean it, that ultimately our development of the BNSF corridor might start there. Our, you know, if we maybe we can't develop the whole thing into a trail at once, but maybe we would say the first thing we're going to do is create that connectivity in that area to the park and ride or whatever out there. I love the idea of City Hall being moved out there, and I know that I think you're looking at all of our facilities, parks and recs, and sort of strategizing what land we own, what land we need to acquire, and I just think that if we invest in Totem Lake, then that's probably the first way to get other people too. And I don't know about housing. I don't know enough about, but because I was going through the goals, and I don't know about housing out there, but I know we're working on affordable housing, but and maybe that's all part of the planning piece. I don't know about, I think about Totem Lake itself, and I was wondering if the park board would look at doing a park bond, or should we be working with KCD about Totem Lake itself and that fragile environment? I know that you, then I was looking at the transportation infrastructure piece, I know that you were working on the flooding with a study, and I think that maybe you already have this in the works, that we would prioritize that area in our capital budget for handling the infrastructure out there. And is our, maybe our Transportation Commission's already working on, or we already have a traffic study and how we can improve and get ideas for that, access issues. And then the economic development piece, I thought that maybe the business roundtable, I looked on the website and our business roundtable says it's closed. I almost think we should never have our roundtable be not available to new people. And so I was thinking about that in terms of Totem Lake, and maybe we need to have a Totem Lake roundtable. Not that I want to create a whole bunch of new bodies that, of work that need to be done, but I at least think that we should have our roundtable go to work on Totem Lake, because they are an asset to us. And I was thinking that we could phase in our head tax in the enterprise zone, that rather than to spur economic development in that area, maybe we wouldn't charge $100 right off the bat. We would give them 2 years to ramp up, or we would give them a lesser amount, or that kind of a thing. And I was thinking about development services, and I know you're already working on this, but maybe if you have a development, and maybe this wouldn't be fair to the rest of the city, and I don't have a clear idea of how this would work, but that if you want to do something in Totem Lake, you get, maybe you pay a little extra for it, and you get all of the development services to come together and figure out exactly what you need, and then give you the go-ahead. So that's all my Totem Lake stuff. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention is that I was thinking about our boards and commissions, and maybe we should, what Bob, I love Bob's expression about breathing your own air, that maybe someday we should flip it so that Dave would be on finance and I would be on public safety, or Penny would be on, you know, I'd like to serve on economic development and I'd like to serve on legislative. Not that I'm done with finance at all, I've only been on there 1 year, but I'm thinking maybe at 4 years or something, it's time to trade the chess pieces around to where we get some new ideas and we all get to do different. So that's me. That's it.
Wow. Thank you. So I think, would you like to do the MC, or do you want me to move
through? Do you want comments, yeah. Council, after each presentation, or do you want to go through? I notice we're not capturing them on the.
No, we are capturing them all in our notes, but we're.
If you want.
Well,
we can
I.
Jump up on the big
I can email it. I have it.
No, we definitely are getting it all down, but would it be easier for the council if we put it up on the?
I think we're okay as long as we're capturing them in some way.
Definitely capturing.
Are there comments, or do we want to wait until everyone's presented?
Okay. We might add to it.
Okay. So.
Right. Councilmember Greenway?
So I just have one thing to say, which is I really want to bring back the neighborhood traffic control program. Three of us were at the Moss Bay Neighborhood Association meeting last night, where a new development that is going in on Lake Street, a residential development with in the neighborhood business zone with retail on the bottom floor. And people were really apprehensive about this development. And the main reason was that they already perceive problems in their neighborhood. They are experiencing traffic problems and parking problems. And they saw this development as adding to that and making it worse. And we actually took some notes, and we're going to have some Kirkland City staff respond to some of their issues, because the developer was not very good at answering the questions. And so people...
Was there last second?
Pardon me?
Was there?
Yes.
That's good.
He said that they were there, which actually this was not a good thing to say, because he couldn't explain it, and we weren't actually sure either. He said he was there because he was required to be there because of the shoreline.
Yeah, he was there to check the box.
Yeah, he was there to, yes, basically. Yeah.
He used that as a...
Yes. So So anyway, it would have been so good to be able to say to these people that were so concerned, and their concern was translating into opposition to the development instead of welcoming it. And actually, some of them actually did, as you know, sort of say, well, this is going to be better and we're excited about the neighborhood business, you know, but mostly it was translating into opposition. And it would have been so nice to be able to say to them, well, we have a neighborhood traffic control program and we can help you with your existing problems on 10th Street South. And we're going to have you, Ray, you know, follow up on that through the neighborhood association, because maybe there are some things that at least we can hear their concerns about 10th Street South, and maybe there are some answers, some strategies that could help them right now. But I just think that was such a valuable program that really had a direct impact on people's lives and was such a good interface with the city, because we all know that every citizen, practically, in every neighborhood, no matter where you live, has concerns about traffic. And their perception about their quality of life is that it's getting worse, because Kirkland is growing and getting bigger. And every time there's a development proposal, that becomes an issue, and it ends up being a negative for growth and development, which I don't really think is fair or right. And so particularly if we're considering going to our citizens and asking them to pay more through the Transportation Benefit District for road maintenance, I just think it's in everybody's best interest that they have access to this program that gives them a direct benefit and gives them an opportunity to interact very positively with the city of Kirkland. So I've been to so many meetings over the years where the traffic control staff person would go and meet with citizens, with residents, with business owners, and it would be so positive because two things would happen. One, the traffic control officer would educate people about the reality of this street is an arterial, this is a collector, you know, and we have different rules for each one, and then develop strategies for dealing with the problems that they were having within the confines of what we can do on each type of street. So that is my goal for the future, to hopefully be able to bring back the neighborhood traffic control program.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay, Mr. Asher.
Annexation and how we handle the residents in annexation really concerns me. I don't think we get a second chance to make a good first impression, and that one is something that I'd like to see us come up with sort of a corporate strategy to do. I sort of laid out something I'd been thinking about last week. You know, if the residents feel welcomed, if they feel listened to and respected, and if they feel empowered, then I think that was sort of my criteria for success. And I know that there's going to be wonderful people like we have in current Kirkland that we'll see a whole lot And there'll be other people that show up very, very infrequently. But at least they need to know that they have access and that they will be heard. And I think that that is a huge light-year difference in what they've sensed and felt about their local government or lack thereof for a long time. So I'm that to me is an absolute imperative. The making progress and coming up with a plan as to how we make progress on the fire and emergency medical responses and capabilities is something that I think we have to tackle, because it's going to take a very, very long time to do, and it's not going to be cheap. I'm not going to think this thing through, but that to me is, we haven't made very much progress. Now, we've done a lot of things, but we haven't made very much progress. Maybe we've made a lot of progress compared to where we would have been if we didn't do those things, but that is really worrisome to me, and one of the fundamental things. Sign ordinance would be a great thing that I would love to see. So I'll second Amy's thing. Let's open that sucker up after over a decade. Well, no, it'll be, if we open the sign ordinance, it'll be almost 20 years. Dissect it and make it good. I'd love for us to take a long-term view as to how we do Marina Park. That I want to create new real estate in Marina Park. Bob referred to it yesterday as the Kirkland Commons, the lidding of Marina Park, and I think that will be a great economic development tool, but it'll take some investment of time to do. So we just need to see when we want to queue that up. And something that I've been wanting for a while, I'd love to get our boards and commissions on TV. I'm not sure what it entails to do that, but a whole lot happens at those, and I think that it would be great to have the community have the capability of getting better access to our boards and commissions. And we need to do the transportation benefit district. hopefully we'll go above the $20 fiat that we can do, but lay out a convincing case, because I think Ray and his staff have laid out a very convincing case that we're headed downhill on our infrastructure if we don't do some big things. And I think getting that story together for the citizenry is worth doing, and giving them an opportunity to participate in that, because that's the new environment we're in. We're in an environment where the populace has to participate in what we're doing. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions? We'll come back, I think, for discussion on all these. Ms. Penn.
Oh, you skipping, huh?
Well, I thought I'd go back to the
three. okay. I have a couple things, too. You know, given Dave's comment, a couple things sort of jump into my head, because I'm actually optimistic with regard to annexation, because I really feel like the more people I talk to out there, and particularly in working with Marie's group and planning the celebration, I think people are eager for the conversation and eager to have this level of representation. So I'm actually optimistic. Something that we touched on yesterday, which is really, it's one of the things that kind of keeps me up at night, and we talked a little bit around this whole idea of civic education. And I think that the annexation actually makes it a really opportune time for us to give people an education on what city government is, what it is that we do. you know, not only are we taking on another 30-plus thousand individuals, but we're entering an election cycle. Things are going to change for this group rather dramatically. I think people within the Kirkland, current Kirkland, need to understand just sort of what the elements are and what the responsibilities are. And I think that would allow us to sell things like TBDs. You know, yeah, Ray's got us convinced, but how do we take that and convince somebody else? So I'm intrigued by the concept that I think Doreen brought up yesterday of maybe partnering with the media somehow around doing something that actually gets out to some folks. And I think that Totem Lake series was very well read, and I know it was talked about a whole lot, talked about it at our bar. The other thing that I'm really interested in moving forward with is the BNSF trail. And I know we're handicapped in all kinds of ways, but I think it's got to be one of those thingies out there. And Kurt, I know you've got this on solidly on your radar, but it's going to take some serious money when the decision time comes. And I don't know what, I mean, we throw lots of ideas out and it feels like it's a little bit of a shopping list when you get right down to it, because we're not coming out of the economic downturn. We're down here. We're still up to here in the water. And then the final thing is the concept of the lid. Now, admittedly, the lid would put me underground in my business, and I've known that for years and years and years. But what I get concerned with is I think that we sometimes are pitting our economic development plans around Totem Lake sort of versus downtown. We know that downtown is not ever going to be the generator, at least I don't believe, until Touchstone. I mean, Touchstone may turn that all around. But I'm kind of in agreement with Amy. I think we need to concentrate our energies around a plan for Totem Lake that actually has doable pieces that somebody can actually, you know, right now, I think for most people, it feels like this great big thing that nobody can take the first step. And I think if we can break it down into doable, intriguing opportunities, then maybe we'll have some motion on it. And I think that's about all.
Thank you. Comments? Ms. Marcioni.
I have the global things on there that everyone else has said. I think the Totem Lake, the annexation, and finishing that up. Marina Park is another, whether it's, I think there's just lots of possibilities, and as we said, used the word yesterday, options for what we end up doing with Marina Park and what might be done there as a focal point for the city and the Burlington Northern also. The other area that I just want to know more about, and what do we do this, but I think it's the mayor who's mentioned a couple of times that we need to make the 85th Street corridor an activity center in order to get better transportation services. And so what is it we have to do? What should we be doing to make that happen? Because we certainly need the transportation services along that corridor. Mm-hmm. And we don't want any excuses to cut them back. So that's one that no one else had said. The other is Amy brought up the committee system. And some of you know that's been a issue for me, that I really think we should be opening up our committees so that if I want to go to public safety or I want to go to finance, I can do it and not have to worry that I tell the city clerk so that we have to notice the meeting. So I think that's something I'd really like to see us look at. Plus, I would like to see us redo our structure so that no three people are serving on the same, more than one committee. Because, like, I don't serve on any committee with Amy or Penny. I was just looking around to see. And so that there's a different system of how we sign up, and you can't just have the same people there over and over. I know that's a little nitpicking, but I think it's something that we should do, and it would help improve communications on the council. And I find myself several times having somebody make a comment about something that's going on in the city, and I'll say, oh, I didn't hear that. Well, we talked about that in whatever committee. So I think somehow we need to make sure that we're all getting the same information, and that will help a lot. And just a comment back on Amy, I think that whole idea of phasing in the head tax as an economic development tool is really a terrific idea. And I think we might even consider looking at, you know, around the city, that if you come in and are going to generate more than whatever number of employees, that we would allow you to phase in the head tax in order to get people to come to the city. So that's what I have.
Mr. Sternoff?
Well, lots of things, quite a list. The boards and commissions with the council meetings, especially our major ones, I think I've said this nearly every year, but especially the Park Board, the Planning Commission, probably Transportation Commission, and I'm trying to think who else, but meeting once a year with them to talk about a work plan, it just doesn't get it for me, and I don't think it's fair to them for the amount of time they put in, especially on some of the big issues excuse me, that we're dealing with and they're dealing with. I think it's important that we understand where they're coming from and they understand where we're coming from, and that would be the purpose of that, which gets me into communications in general, which I also say every year. It is a major problem. When we went to the annexation meeting last week, then the hands were raised as to how'd you find out. It was through a mailer. Wasn't through the internet, wasn't through, for the most part, you know, people that raise their hands. And we really need to focus on this. We've talked about it, we've tried different things, but I think that we really need to get serious about this and figure out how other cities do it, if they're successful, what works, what doesn't work, because as has been mentioned earlier here, that is a major piece of us understanding what the public wants. Streamlining their business operations. We kind of got into this a little bit yesterday, not a lot. It does obviously have budget impacts, but again, you know, best practices, for lack of a better term, I think need to be looked at. How do we do business compared to other cities? Are there other things that we can do that at the end of the day, there's a pot of money, and that's what we're working from? And are we getting the best value for those dollars? In line with that, the long-range business plan for the police and fire. What do we want to do? Are there opportunities out there to go expand into other areas? I know there are other cities that have talked to, probably Joan, I know, I think, has had discussions. I've had discussions with other cities adjoining us that have shown some interest. They're contract cities now. See if there's any benefit for that. Marina Park is a great opportunity zone. It's going to take money. We all know that. Are there other neighborhood areas that we need to look at? Are there other areas that would be community-driven, areas that are screaming to be? And some of this may be in the annexation area. Some of it is in our existing area now. What can we do to move some of those ideas along, or at least to have the conversations with the neighborhoods that adjoin? The idea of, and I know the state doesn't have any money, but I'm going to raise it anyway, the impacts on our roads from what the state does, the tolling of 520 and the traffic that will flow through our city, the traffic that will flow to the park and ride, et cetera, as it's expanded. That's something that we've got to get on our radar and got to get on the legislative agenda. And my guess, we'd probably get some other cities to probably join us in some of that.
Thank you, Mr.
Something I'm involved with, strategic regional board participation. It's vitally important as we move forward that our council get involved in the region. There's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of things that impact us. There are other boards and commissions that can be served on by people who aren't, and I'll leave it at that. BNSF Trail, been raised several times. I know there's a vocal group out there. I'm not sure throughout this city how important it is to other folks. I'm throwing that out on the table. I think we need to do some work on that to find out how much people are willing to go spend on it and how much time they want us to go spend on it. Because I don't know. We're kind of running down our own track, if you will, on that. And I'm not, I know the people, they're my old neighbors, I know them well, some of my current neighbors as well, but I'm not sure that it goes throughout the whole city at this point, and I'd like to get a little more clarification on that. Totem Lake, I'm going to use three words: access, access, access. we've got to figure out a plan of how we combine both sides of the freeway in order for that to be successful. May not be possible, of course. If you have enough money, anything's usually possible. That gets into transportation connectivity, something I talked about yesterday. How do we connect our city? Once again, getting back to the idea of having decent transit times between places so that people are less likely to say, you know what, I can get to Bellevue faster than I can get to Totem Lake, or I can get to some other place faster than that. How do we manage our mobility system that way? And last thing, that was a comment off of I think something that Doreen said. We are keeping minutes of the committee, of the subcommittee meetings, and I think most of them get distributed, but probably a little more timely would be certainly worthwhile. So that's my list.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I have 4 items. So the first one, and the most important to me, has to do with Totem Lake. And I kind of feel from this symposium we've kind of lost a little bit of vision there. We need to constantly do more. And so some of the ideas I thought about for that was to have a citizens advisory committee for Totem Lake, or as as the city manager mentioned one day, maybe bringing in the Urban Land Institute to do one of their very quick sort of planning programs, so that we can begin to have at least a first plan on things that we could do in that area. And I would like to see perhaps even a portion of Ellen Miller Wolf's time spent just focused on Totem Lake, because we found out the symposium, one of the things is there's actually a lot there, as I think Councilmember Greenway was mentioning. It has such a bad reputation that people sometimes don't realize that there are good things happening there right now, and we need to change the perception. But getting a group together that actually meets out there and talks about it, I think, is very, very important, and bringing some sort of planning process to it. The other thing, the second thing, is I'm really interested in beginning to think about ballot measures. And I would like to hope that we would be 18 months to 2 years out, and that we could begin to think about a menu of options. That might be the Burlington Northern, it might be parks and recreation, it might be an indoor recreation, it could be a number of things. But if we don't start thinking about it now, we won't be prepared. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a time to maybe talk to our boards and commissions, talk to some of the champions in the neighborhood to begin asking them what they'd like to see. The third thing is I'm really concerned about human services right now, especially with the cuts that we're going to see this year from the state, from the county needing to back away from human services, threats to public health, threats to the disabled, to housing, to food scarcity, et cetera. I really think that we need to ask the Human Services Advisory Board to begin having hearings or having workshops, because there's a world of hurt coming to Kirkland. There's a world of hurt right now, but it's just invisible. But it's going to grow, I believe, and it's going to become heart-wrenching. In the midst of this affluent city, that there will be the kind of hurt that's going to be difficult and more visible. And I'd like them to begin to talk about that. And one of the reasons I thought about, I can't remember where we were, I know some other council members were with me, but we started in this particular group to talk about neighborliness. And a lot of it has to do with David, the time bank. But someone had mentioned in Kirkland, pre-WPA days, like pre-1930s, that folks in Kirkland had actually come together, civic leaders, to decide that, you know, the unemployment rate in Kirkland was unacceptable, and they were going to deal with that in their specific way, and that was like, you know, handyman hiring handymans. Well, we're in a different sort of environment, but I actually believe if we could start talking about human services and what it means to this particular city, that we might be able to find our own solutions, because we can't depend on the county, we can't depend on the state, and even the federal government really doesn't give a rip much anymore. Maybe that's too harsh, but in Kirkland, we care about everyone. And the third is, just back to Totem Lake, I don't know how to do this, because I don't know how to do planning, but we have to figure out what we need for Totem Lake. If we need that 132nd interchange, it took us 10 years to begin to talk about the transit center. Wasn't it that long ago, David? Oh, yeah. And if it hadn't been for David and a friend of his that has since passed away, we wouldn't have the 116th. You know, and that was 10 years ago, the 116th underpass and the bridge, because the 405 program was just going to pass Kirkland by. If we don't start talking about what our needs are right now for Totem Lake, we're just being passed by again. Now, Kirkland is always there at the table for what is regional and what's best for the region, but we have to figure out, like Bellevue does, like Bellevue is like this amazing thing. What is in it for me, and what do I want to be? We need just a little bit of Bellevue running through, and I think particularly council members' veins that say, yeah, I love what's best for the region, and we sink or fail by what happens with our neighbors, but we gotta be in this for us. And if 132nd is what we really need to be the bookends on Totem Lake, then we gotta start now. So, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know if that's what we need or not, but if it is, I'd like to be there. I'd like to be that rabid dog that tries to go after what we need for Totem Lake. The end. Okay. Yes. Let's see. Do we have rabid dog up there? Oh, no.
Trying to figure out how to reconcile the rabid dog and the sleep of the just. So yeah. Put you to sleep, you know, somehow.
You got to sleep in Bellevue.
That's right.
There is the warrior for righteousness, that's, you know.
Right. I have one more.
Yes, ma'am. Mm.
And it's about the graph we see with the divergent lines and how our revenue cannot keep up with our expense, and the biggest piece of our expenses are wages and benefits. And I think that it's a hard thing to say, but I think we need to have some tools to talk about that. And I know that King County did some labor policies, and I'm wondering if that would be a helpful thing for us to do, to set some policy about how we deal with that. So I'd like to see us look at doing that.
So, and just to add to that, I think that it's great to look at King County, and I know Kurt will resource that, but I think we need to look at the private sector and how the private sector has dealt with multiple unions as well.
In Washington State? We're not so unionized, but that's okay.
Well, not just in Washington State, but, I mean, I my own organization, Group Health Cooperative, with 23 bargaining units.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Other comments? Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that keeps me up at night, and this is really more of a state issue, but it's something I think we need to face, is the underfunding of pension commitments. Because this is something you hear talked about a lot, and I really understand what's happening. Over the years, and maybe even over the decades, and as I said, this is state-driven. The amount of funding that goes into the pension system is not enough to cover the commitments. Now, the commitments is a whole different conversation, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is adequate funding for the commitments that are in place right now.
So actuarial kinds of things. Other comments? What do you want to do with this list? Because I'm seeing some themes.
Yeah. Well, I guess again, like what Andrew said, I'm curious what your reaction to other people's statements are. So we have the seven, and some like BNSF have come up a couple times. But you know, maybe going back the other way, is there things that your colleagues suggested that you really want to reinforce and glom onto?
Yes, ma'am.
I certainly want to reinforce the human service part. I didn't say it originally because I thought we're committed to looking at that and going through. And I guess I would have a question maybe for Jenny that I may be wrong, but how much policy stuff does our Human Service Advisory Committee do? That's what I thought. They just look at what comes in and make recommendations on who to fund, don't they?
That's right. That's what their role has been. That's why their advisory committee, they don't meet every month. Yeah. They just meet as needed.
So it'd be a new role for them to take on policy.
Well, we had actually talked to them before about do they want to be involved in these kinds of conversations. And sometimes, I mean, over the years they've said yes, but they've never really taken that jump, and I just wonder if we could ask them.
I think that we could, but I just wanted to reinforce what you were saying. I do think we need to be sure we're looking at human services and that the needs of our citizens are being met as best we can. So.
Yes, ma'am. And Mr. Asher.
I want to talk about Totem Lake, and I want to slightly change the way we communicate about Totem Lake, because so much of what we communicate about Totem Lake is negative, and I'd like to actually change the tone of that conversation to have it reflect what a tremendous opportunity Totem Lake is. My worry is that if we talk about Totem Lake negatively, it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I saw this happen in Pioneer Square about 15 years ago, where the community talked so much about its problems because we were trying to get the attention of the city. And what happened was we fostered this reputation. And so, I think we can be the leaders of that. And we don't really have to change much, just slightly change. Instead of focusing on what's wrong, focusing on what we want to accomplish, what the opportunities are. And I don't know how to do this, but actually the transportation system in and out of Totem Lake is actually better than you think. I go to Totem Lake constantly for all kinds of things, and I never ever mess with the 124th. There are so many other easier, better ways. And who was it that said connect the two sides of the freeway? Well, they are now in at least one place, and that's the 128th Street overpass. You know, you can get from Norkirk Market, the west side of Totem Lake, so easily now by using the 100, you know, you can go north on Market, you can turn left on 132nd. I mean, there are just so many ways, that really good ways now that you can get to Totem Lake. How do we publish that? How do we make that known, that the access is so much better than it has been? And then the zoning, actually, I think we have really flexible zoning in place right now. I don't think there's much about the zoning that we need to change. There seems to be this perception that you can't do business in Totem Lake because of the zoning. So somehow we need to get that information out there, that because of the Totem Lake plan, there is so much flexibility, there's so much opportunity there. So I guess the basic message is there, yeah, keep working on the problems we need to solve, but also focus on what's right.
Would the council agree, though, that we want to spend time in, you know, emphasizing a work plan around Totem Lake? So I think there may be some difference of opinions around the zoning, because even in the good times, we had some pretty good zoning, and we didn't see some of the kind of action that we wanted to outside of the hospital. So it might be something we could look at. One of the things that was, you know, one of the things we could do is have a subcommittee of the council that just dealt with Totem Lake, or that just dealt with a citizens advisory group in Totem Lake. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some options of how to have more involvement. Yes, sir.
I think there's truth on both sides. I think that the zoning mm-hmm. is fundamentally good. We've opened up a lot of opportunities. I've gone through the code recently, and I think there are some things we can do to improve it as well. So, I mean, you know, how that stacks up in terms of importance relative to other things, I don't have a good handle on. And I think the idea, I think, Mayor, that you mentioned of bringing somebody like ULI or something in mm-hmm. that can kind of have a fresh look at things maybe mm-hmm. and sort of say, you know, if you had to do two or three things, here's what you really need to do. But I think, personally, I think that would be a good.
Could you explain what that might be like and what perhaps it might cost? I mean, for us, cost is an issue. I mean, would council be interested in just a quick overview of what that might be? Or
I don't remember the exact cost, but we have already talked to a yep. little bit to ULI about that.
Yeah, so they it's $15,000 for their initial. They bring in the panel, they do an assessment, and they write you a report and a plan. And so we've identified the potential $15,000 if that's something that we want to do.
Basically, what that is a group of experts, if you will, developers, people who are, you know, been there, done that, so to speak, who can kind of do an assessment and say, here's where your problems are, here's where your opportunities are, et cetera, et cetera.
And is this something that Bellevue used as they were beginning to craft their Bell-Red vision?
No. I used ULI or not, no. But they've done something similar to this in the past, but
no, they didn't use ULI. They've they've done a couple projects. The other folks you can go to is NAOP. Mm-hmm. NAOP does a competition every year.
And NAOP is the National Association of Industrial and Office.
Yeah.
Which so sounds
that there are resources
they
out.
Pretty urban development. As well.
And they use University of Washington students generally mm-hmm. need a project master's level or above. That's another opportunity.
There are a variety of organizations that kind of do these sorts of things, and you know, for rats or intensive weekend things or week-long things or whatever, but ULI is one option and seems like it would be a good one.
Would council be interested in finding out just a little bit more about what that process or the other one might be, or
sure.
what it would cost?
You know, one of the things, just real quick, you're actually going to get an update at your next council meeting on the status of the Totem Lake Action Plan. And so a lot of the things that have been raised here, we actually are underway. We're doing quite a bit of work on that, and we're going to be reporting back to you and giving you a sense of what's happening. So it may not be as on your radar screen, but it certainly hasn't slowed down in terms of the staff work.
Other comments?
I think Dave was up.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I did have a list of Asher, Sternoff, and Waller. Okay. Mr. Sternoff? Sorry. Thank you.
I had actually had added something, too, I thought. lost my thought. Oh, wait a minute. No, here it is. The thought that I've got for that I put forth earlier on the Totem Lake and the connectivity and that is because the mall is not You know, there may be plenty of opportunity to get there. There may be really fast and all that, but there's nobody there. The mall's empty on that side. So the primary traffic you have is going to the hospital. And, you know, for me, where I live, it is a, you know, it is a thought that goes into our head. Do we go to that Trader Joe's or do we go to another one? You know, knowing we can get to another one faster. And I know if I'm thinking it, and I know all the back roads. I mean, I know every one of them, and I know how long it takes. But that to me is part of just the bigger thing I said earlier, which is just the connectivity within our own city, making sure that the goods and services we have, that the people that are paying the head tax do get a good shot at our citizens spending, you know, their money in our city, keeping the sales tax here and providing businesses and jobs. So
I wonder if it would be a benefit to ask that the Transportation Commission, which is made up of traffic engineers, just take a look at the connectivity in Totem Lake. What do we need short-term and long-term? Because, you know, if we don't need that 132nd interchange, then let's not take the 10 years it's going to.
Yeah.
But would that be?
Yeah, I think that's a good use of their time, and I think it would certainly tell us a lot of things about, you know, what our traffic patterns are, et cetera. You know, it might be something you could get somebody from the University of Washington or mm-hmm. another college that wants to do a thesis on, you know, what it looks like.
Other comments, Ms. Wallen.
I was just concerned that we only have 10 minutes left, and I feel like we have some great ideas and they need to be prioritized somehow. Are we going to try to do that in 10 minutes, or are we going to try to schedule some other time?
Actually, we only have 5 minutes to do that. No. bathroom break.
I mean, I love your idea about the ballot measure. I think that's powerful, and I think we need to really have. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of ideas there, and we need to figure out of our limited resources which ones we want to prioritize, and probably we're not going to be able to do that.
Could we ask staff to maybe put these together and organize them?
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest first we certainly will summarize all these. I think some of the good news is a lot of what there seems to be a majority opinion on are already in your current work plan. So Totem Lake, evaluating BNSF and making a decision on ballot measures is something we've already got that we'll be coming back to and checking in and getting more updates. Some of the other issues, I think, again, the theory would be we put them all back to you and come back and say, is there anything on this new list of ideas that you'd want to knock off something on the current list of ideas for? But this would probably start to inform the 2012 work plan.
There's also some issues that are separate around communications, especially mm-hmm. with council members among ourselves around our boards and commissions.
Committees.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Committees.
And committees.
Mm-hmm.
Membership, term limits, that sort of thing. So maybe if you could just get us that, we can figure out how to talk about those and address those, and also about open meetings, open committee meetings. Yes, sir?
We need to come up with a unified plan. We've got lists on top of lists on top of lists, and we need to find a way of...
A refrigerator's not that big, is it?
Let's see if we can make these complementary. It's nice to brainstorm. It's nice to see what's peaked, but we need to come up with a strategy of getting into the future some way that doesn't have here's this list of priorities, and here's this list of things we want to do, and here's this over here. And so, coming up with a way of making that all mesh nicely, I think, is impossible. But maybe we should make it
I don't think it is impossible.
Do you want,
it's happening.
For the ones that aren't necessarily about council communications, could you link them to our either our work plan or our goals? Would that be of interest? Would that help?
Some of these things we're already doing.
Right.
Planning. Yeah.
Like the civic education, we have a program plan for sort of just post-annexation for workshops and videos and things like that.
Good.
So some of those things we actually are already thinking about. At least one of them reminds me of something we're supposed to do that we haven't done yet, about getting a board and commission city council breakfast thing with the chairs of the boards and commissions. So that's a reminded to do that. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
Mr. Sternoff, did you
It seemed to me that a lot of the things we're talking about here that we've put up here could come out, could be evaluated by a focus group very easily and tell us what our priorities ought to be, frankly. I mean, that's the bottom line for me. I'd like to hear what the public's got to say on some of these things.
Just question about that, because this was really just brainstorming. This wasn't necessarily about where we want to be in the future, which is might be what you want the focus group to talk about.
You know, the future's now. I mean, you know, every day that goes on, every minute that we spend is a dollar spent, and I just think that if these are things that are important, you know, obviously we've all voiced them. We've got our you know, some of us agree, some of us disagree. That's great. But I think the bottom line for me is I'd like to know where the public wants me to go spend my time and our resources. That's what I like to know. And I'm not going to presuppose. I mean, there are some things, but I think a lot would come out in a focus group. We talked about doing one yesterday, and I don't know why
we couldn't. I love focus groups.
Well, that's where I think we've. You know, we'll learn an awful lot about, you know, what we know. We'll either reinforce it, or we'll find out. No.
yes. Last comment.
Real quick. This is good. The next one of these needs to be sooner than next March. I would suggest a quarterly, something where we come together and say, where are we? Where are we going? What's the itch that you have right now that maybe we can wrap in and be sensitive to? Because we're about, you know, we walk out of this room or after the retreat, we get back on the machine, and it moves, and it has its own time schedule. And we don't come back around to something like this in another year. That's not satisfying.
How about this? Let's get the list back. Let's have staff do their incredible magic. And maybe there'll be a little asterisk if major funds or resources are needed to even begin to think about these. And then when it comes back, we'll figure out how to do that. Maybe it'll be a subcommittee. Maybe it'll be a discussion on one of our agendas. Maybe it'll be a study session. Would that be okay, Council?
Mm-hmm.
We can start to look at these. Okay, so we are going to now go to our tour of the annexation area. We will not be coming back, and our tour of the annexation area is not televised, so we'll be signing off.
So take your
very
things
soon.
With you,
right,
so
please take your things.
And upstairs or downstairs?
You will be dropped back off at City Hall. The tour will end at
And the bus is upstairs, or we'll be loading upstairs?